WAIF 88.3 FM in Cincinnati. That would be John Densmore of The Doors. Happy birthday, John. 77 today. You're listening to me, Bob Hust, on this week's edition of Blue Snakes and Banjos. My guest host, Bill Thompson, is not here this week, but we're going to have the fifth Beatle, Jack Griner, join us at some point in the show. Actually, I'm very familiar with the concept of the fifth Beatle. We all know that it is not Pete Best, whose birthday is today. Or was it last week? I think it was last week. But Pete Best, even though he was officially a fifth Beatle, was not the fifth Beatle. That was George Martin. But anyway, Jack Greiner will be here as the number one fan and sub for the show. I have a feeling he's going to be looking extremely dapper, too, when he gets here. But before we get to that, on November 17th, a giant of jazz, Dave Frischberg, passed away. And I know we don't play much jazz on the show, but Dave Frischberg, you ask? A couple of fans of the show asked me about him, and I had heard of him, but really didn't know any darn thing about him. And then I found out, in the course of researching this mini tribute I'm about to launch, he wrote one of my favorite songs. I knew it as performed by Anita O'Day. And so let me start off with that, and then we'll play a few more Bill Frischberg songs as Bluesnecks and Banjos sticks its toe into the water of light, very light jazz. So R.I.P. Dave Frischberg. Here we go with a set from him.
A grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow, start me a smoke, talk to me nice, you've got to warn me, undine me, don't try to fool me, bejewel me, either amuse me or lose me, I'm getting hungry, peel me a grape. Pop me a cork, French me a fry, crack me a nut, bring a bowl full of bonbons, chill me some wine, keep standing by, just to entertain me, champagne me, show me you love me, kid glove me, a best way to cheer me, cashmere me, I'm getting hungry, feel me a grape. Is how to be an agreeable chap. Love me, can leave me in luxury's lap. Hop when I holler, skip when I snap. When I say do it, jump to it. Send out for scotch, boil me a crab. Cut me a rose, make my tea with the petals. Just hang around, pick up the tab. Never would think me, just make me. Hold the back, rub me, don't bug me. New Thunderbird me, you heard me. I'm getting hungry, bring me hungry. Here's how to bring an agreeable chap. Love me and leave me in luxury's lap. Hop when I holler, skip when I snap. When I say do it, jump to it. Send out the scotch, boil me a crab. Cut me a rose, make the tea with the petals. Just hang around, pick up a tab. Never hard think me, just make me. Bowl of air of me, don't bug me. New Thunderbird me, you heard. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape. One of the seedless kind.
Wow, you sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Hey, who's that sad little scrap of paper?
You really want to know?
I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. World is a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long way, while I'm sitting in convenience, but I know I'll be a long day if I hope I'll
certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
I guess. I mean, I got this far, but when I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said,
"You're right. There ought to be a law."
And he sat down, he wrote me out, and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
But I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I got a smallest capital bill. Well, now I'm stuck in community, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate. Well, it's not meant to be the law, how I hope and pray that
to these congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
You know, it is. And I'm one of the lucky ones, because most bills never even get this far. And if they don't report favorably on me, I'm gonna die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee.
Bill, you're up!
Yeah, it looks like I'm gonna live. And I gotta go to the House of Representatives now, and they're gonna vote on me, so.
So if they vote yes, what happens?
Well, then I go to the Senate. And then the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'm waiting on line. I'm a bill for the president to sign. If he's not here, I'll be gone. I hope and pray that
you mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yep, that's called a veto. And if the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again. But you know, by that time,
it's very unlikely that you'll become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
Nope.
But how I hope and pray that I'm not today.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Haney Majeski, Johnny G, Eddie Juiced, Johnny Pesky, Thornton Lee, Danny Gardella, Van Lingle Mungo, Whitey Karowski, Max Lanier, Eddie Waitkus, and Johnny Vandermeer. Bob Estalella, Van Lingle Mungo, Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacoki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, Augie Gullan, and Pinky May. Stan Hack and Frenchie Bordagaray, Phil Cavaretta, George McQuinn, Howard Paulette, and Early Wynn, Roy Campanella, Van Lingle Mungo. Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacoki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, John Antonelli, Ferris Fane, Frankie Crosetti, Johnny Sane, Harry Brachin, and Lou Boudreau, Frankie Gustin and Claude Passo. Eddie Basinski, Ernie Lombardi, Huey Mulcahy, Van Lingle Mungo.
There was a set. Whoops-a-daisy. You know, it's already coming apart at the seams, and we haven't even started, I haven't even introduced my guest or started what's going to be a rousing debate that may end up in fisticuffs. That chortle you hear is from great friend and great friend of the show, Jack Greiner. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I am good. I didn't have time to do my homework,
so I'm prepared. You don't know what's coming. The freight train is coming down the track, my friend.
I'm going to be cut to ribbons, I fear. I'm going to have to resort to just like cheap wisecracks and sarcastic remarks.
You can jump on the train, or you can get run down by it. It's your choice.
And that train that Jack is referring to is the Kenny Loggins for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, and Jim, Loggins and Messina, the duo.
Oh, this you want the duo. This isn't just Kenny.
This isn't just Kenny. Oh. I'm fine with just Kenny, but this is the duo Loggins and Messina. Jim Messina. So let me back up, I suppose, a little bit. I've been thinking about this for a while, and then a couple weeks ago, we were in the car, and it was the night of the induction ceremony, and I was reminded that the Go-Go's were being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Deservedly so.
My sense was, well, wait a minute. If the Go-Go's are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're telling me there's not room for Kenny Loggins and Jim Messina in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? So I think anytime you do, and Bob, you're a baseball fan, as am I, and you know how it goes with Cooperstown. You look not only at the merits of the individual player, but you know, you look at who else is in the Hall of Fame, and you know, therefore you say, well, I'm sorry, but if Ozzie Smith is in the Hall of Fame, Barry Larkin, of course, belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, you say, wait a minute, this guy's in. Well, this guy, you know, was okay. Maybe he wasn't quite the fielder Ozzie Smith was, but he was three times the hitter Ozzie was. So. And he was a good fielder. So, you know, he's in. So I'm kind of looking at some comparables. You know, we can maybe talk about some comparables. Do we want to play a song just to kind of get people in the right frame of mind?
I think we're going to whet their appetite.
Let's just whet their appetite.
But let me preview a couple of questions I will have.
Uh-oh.
One, I think that methodology leads to a race to the bottom.
Yes, I don't totally disagree, but it's, you know, fair is fair.
Okay.
Fair is fair.
And secondly, I have an important question. Do you think he is on deck? In other words, he is the next I keep saying he. Do you think Loggins and Messina are the next most deserving folks not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Whoa, that's a relief.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about some of the other people who might be ahead of them in line. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you just cut off my whole, why are we talking about this instead of Warren Zevon or something?
Yeah, right.
We've beat that to death before.
I could see that coming down. I was prepared for that.
And for those of you who don't know, Jack is an outstanding litigator, so I have my hands full tonight. Any argument I've been concocting, he's ready for. Well,
and I feel the same way about you, Bob. I'm sure that... You know, Lincoln and Douglas are spinning in their graves right now because they want in on this. They want in on this. Lincoln wants Loggins and Messina in, I think.
Well, here we go. We're going to start off with Nobody But You.
Nobody But You.
Loggins and Messina tune. Do you want to say anything about it now?
Well,
or
it is the first song on side A of their first album, which was called Sitting In. So I thought to kind of get us into the right frame of mind, that's what we lead off with.
I think that's makes perfect sense. So here we go. Loggins and Messina making their Blue Snakes and Banjos debut with Nobody But You. Mm-hmm.
impressed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections and I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way around and so I always do what Bernie recommends. I am blessed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with the way he runs the store. He's got Dodger season boxes and an office full of foxes. It's amazing all the different things your average guy might need a lawyer for. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. I'm in touch with my attorney Bernie. In a clutch, he can speed right to the scene. And if I'm locked up in the jail with just one phone call for my bail, he said to call his club collect or deal directly with his answering machine. When I dine with my attorney Bernie, he buys wine from the rare imported rack. That's cause Bernie is purist, not your polyester tourist. Bernie waves the glass around a while, then takes a sip and always sends it back. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. Bernie, I admire any guy who knows his stuff. Sure, we blew a couple ventures with the counterfeit debentures, but you win a few, you lose a few. Like Bernie says, you keep on hanging tough. Thanks to you, my attorney Bernie. Thanks to you, I'm considered well-to-do. Sure, I made out like a bandit, just exactly like you planned it. But like Murray, my accountant, told me yesterday, I owe it all to you. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. On the dotted line.
Very tricky. I worked in One More Day, Frischberg, but that was in your and my honor, Jack. That was my attorney, Bernie.
I love it. Love it.
Let me jump back to Dave Frischberg just for a second, and then we will go head over heels into Loggins and Messina. Anyway, Frischberg, like I said at the very beginning, I hadn't heard his name, and then he passed away, and I read the obituary and all of that, and a good friend of ours, Tim Gerhart, called it out, and I started poking around, and then I found out that he wrote this song that I just love called Peel Me a Grape that I knew was a big hit, in quotes, from Anita O'Day, and that's what we started the last set with. I got so excited that Jack came that, and predictably, he was dapper. He is dapper. But then I forgot to tell you about the songs we played. So that was Peel Me a Grape. Then we did I'm Just a Bill. Everybody knows that Frischberg tune.
I mean, people our age and maybe a little bit younger, that's just how we learn civics. I mean, that's why we know civics.
And that's right.
The younger people that don't get to watch I'm Just a Bill, they don't get it. They don't understand how it works.
So what they do is they go burn down the Capitol.
They go burn down the Capitol or they run for office in gerrymandered districts. I mean, one or the other. Maybe both. I don't know.
Two kinds of people in the world. Those who've heard I'm Just a Bill and
those who burn down the Capitol. That's right.
So he's a great patriot, and I wonder if he won the Medal of Freedom. But anyway, then we heard Van Lingelmungo, and just now, My Attorney Bernie, which, is an homage to our profession.
Well, didn't we do attorney songs one time when I was on?
I think we did, but it wasn't this
one. We didn't include My Attorney Bernie. That was a real faux pas.
But anyway, Rest in peace, Dave.
Dave Frischberg. Frischberg.
Now, turning to the business at hand, we started the set with Loggins and Messina, Nobody But You.
Yeah.
You pointed out, Jack, it was their first song on side A of their first album.
Yeah. And, you know, their backstory is kind of interesting, which is another reason why I think they're potentially hall worthy. And that is it wasn't supposed to be a duo. If you look at the Sittin' In album, it's Kenny Loggins with Jim Messina sitting in. It is not Loggins and Messina. We could probably do a good trivia question.
You could win
a bar bet or something like
definitely.
That.
Definitely.
But no, it was not Loggins and Messina. Jim Messina was kind of, you know, a Hall of Fame musician. He was inducted, I think, because of Poco. But he had been in Buffalo Springfield towards the end of Buffalo Springfield run and was doing producing. And they had this, you know, young, talented songwriter named Kenny Loggins, and he needed a producer, and that's where Jim Messina came in. Messina kind of assembled the band, co-wrote some songs, and then wound up performing on it. And, you know, they had some hits, and the album itself went platinum. And so the label said, hey, I think we've got a duo here. So they became Loggins and Messina. It was, and their second album was just called Loggins and Messina. But, you know, it was sort of an accidental duo, which I think is kind of interesting and, goes towards the Hall of Fame argument, I think. You know, how many other duos? I was trying to think of other duos in the Hall of Fame.
Simon and Garfunkel,
the Everly Brothers. Hall and Oates. Now, let me ask you this.
They're in the Hall of Fame?
They are in the Hall
They're
of Fame.
They're in the Hall of Oates fame.
They're in the
Hall Oates fame.
Daryl Hall is in the Hall. Now let me ask you this, Bob. I mean, are you honestly going to tell me that Hall and Oates is heads and shoulders above Loggins and Messina?
No, I cannot. I cannot. And that's why I have to reject your methodology, because otherwise I'm doomed. If Hall and Oates is the new bar, there's going to be all kinds of people in the
Well, okay. So, you know, and again, here's just a few of my arguments in favor of Loggins and Messina. Number one, they were successful. I mean,
That's true.
I meant to look up the criteria for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I got busy. But 1971, Sittin' In, U.S., platinum. 72, Loggins and Messina, platinum. 73, Full Sail, platinum. 74, Motherlode, gold. 76, Native Sons, gold. They didn't have quite as much. I mean, so their albums sold a lot of, you know, they sold a lot of albums, but they didn't. It's interesting. They didn't have any singles that they never had a number one single. So probably, you know, that might be an issue. Your Mama Don't Dance, which we'll play in a little bit, was their best. It was number four. A song called My Music from Full Sail was hit number 16, and Thinking of You hit number 18. So those were kind of their biggest hits. But I think our listeners are probably, especially if they're around our age, they're gonna recognize these songs that we play tonight. I mean, I think they were that kind of band. But I have to say that my affection for, I'm probably talking too much, but my affection for Loggins and Messina goes back to the beginning. I think my sister brought home Sittin' In, and I liked Danny's song, and I liked House of Pooh Corner, but I liked that entire album, and I would listen to it quite a lot as like a seventh grader. And I would, at parties in college, occasionally put on a Loggins and Messina album, and I would get all kinds of grief from people like you, Bob. Not that you were at the party, but a couple of your elder classmates were at those parties.
Jim Roth would
tee off on me, and
Carl Rickenbaugh
would be aghast when I would put on Loggins and Messina, but I didn't care. By God, I was putting on Loggins and Messina. Saw them at the Coliseum. Saw Kenny Loggins at Bogart's right after he broke up with Jim Messina. Great concert. First row, back when Bogart's used to have the tables.
Oh, yeah.
The little club tables. Great, great show. So my admiration for this band goes back a long time. And I realize that, just saying I like that band is not a good enough reason for them to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, now, I don't know.
Bill Thompson thinks that if he likes the band, they should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
I'm trying to be a little more objective. A little more objective
more
than
objective
Bill.
More objective than Bill?
A little bit more objective than Bill. So, you know, but I put it out there. And I think maybe it's time we ought to stop yapping about it and maybe we play Vahivala.
We will in a moment. I want to set the record straight, though. I am not going to pretend I was not a Loggins and Messina fan in the early 70s.
You were.
I was.
Okay.
And I remember, I think I was a, freshman in high school, maybe? Does the math work?
Not right.
72, 73, something like that.
Yeah.
And WEBN, which was the hip station back then, unlike
what they are now,
whatever. I don't even know what they do anymore.
We're the hip station.
This is the hip station right here. You're on it, people. They used to do... until they gave us a show. They used to do featured album of the week.
Okay.
And I remember, what was the album with Angry Eyes on it?
That was Loggins and Messina.
Okay. So when that album came out, it was feature album of the week. And I remember, they would play a whole album.
Yeah.
And I remember they played that album. I thought it was great. And, I liked those songs back then. I think part of what happened was Kenny Loggins, even though I have a soft spot for I'm All Right, as an Evan Scholar, what I like to refer to it as is the theme from Caddyshack.
Ah, yes.
That does.
Fair enough.
But Footloose and all that, it's kind of like, And maybe it sullied my original perception.
I get that. I totally get that. And like if you listen to Celebrate Me Home, which was Kenny Loggins' first post Loggins and Messina album, it's good. I mean, there's great stuff on it. He started getting a little cheesier as he went on. I'm not sure that Whenever I Call You Friend, that's not a hill I would die on. Let's put it that way. But anyway, we're sticking with Loggins and Messina.
That's right.
We are stopping at 1976 when they broke up.
Okay. So. Well, that definitely sharpens the point of your argument.
There you go.
So here we go. This is
Vahivala.
Vahivala.
Time on the open sea, when we'd stay off the coast of Jamaica, I'd see where it's still ashore, let us wait for, oh, and lazy soul.
Sail away, hurry, sail away.
Every night in Jamaica, I'd sing with the lady and drink with the men till the morning appear. Felt the sunshine fresh on my face as the song of the night would still ring in my ear.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. Think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Everybody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I'm hoping that you'll be my baby. I'm wondering if I'll be alone, knowing that I need you to save me.
Our intensive research really pays off here because that set was uniquely holistic.
Indeed.
Let me explain why.
Explain, Bob.
Well, we started off with Loggins and Messina. We're going to get back to that.
Yes.
But, and we'll hold on for a minute there. But then Los Lobos, one of the favorites of the show here, was nominated for a Grammy in some Americana category. I'll figure it out by January. But they were nominated. Their new album, Native Sons, which is an album of covers, and that's a cover of For What It's Worth. And Jim Messina was in Buffalo Springfield.
Well, and the last Loggins and Messina album, studio album, was Native Son.
Oh.
So that's
crazy. We're even better than we thought.
That's who would have ever imagined.
Unbelievable. And then, because I was thinking of Buffalo Springfield, played Neil Young, and why did I play a quasi oldies ish, rockabilly ish cut called Wonderin', which is a great song, by the way, even though he does it in this kind of funky style for Everybody's Rockin'. And the reason I played that was because this is the anniversary of David Geffen suing Neil Young, in part because of that album, Everybody's Rockin'. It was one of three albums that Neil put out in a row in the early 80s. The other two being Trans, which was it had a vocoder. You know,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, was totally techno before techno was cool. It's actually kind of an interesting album still. It's held up. It's probably better now than it was then. But we've all caught up with Neil on that one. But then, and then the third one was Old Ways, which is like an old style country record, like something from late 50s Nashville.
Like Hank Williams.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
So Geffen, who was thinking he was going to cash in on Neil Young, having, you know, basically ruled the world from the early 70s on.
Sure.
Was irritated at the poor sales, and sued Neil. I should have the quote in front of me, but I don't. One, the albums weren't commercial enough.
Check.
Definitely. He's got a point. Now, I don't know what the contract said about that. But two, they weren't musically representative.
Yeah, that's an interesting phrase.
Right, because
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because if you're Neil Young and you do music, it's pretty
representative.
Much it's by definition, isn't it? So,
wow.
Now, the interesting subtext there was that Neil hated Geffen, and so there was always this suspicion that Neil
Those were three middle fingers.
Right. But I actually saw one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life was in September of 83 at Blossom Music Center, where Neil did a solo set of his like old tradition, musically representative stuff,
right?
Followed by Trans, followed by an Everybody's Rock, and he played for like 3.5 hours in an unbelievable driving rainstorm. There's a lot of stories that I won't tell on the air about that night. But so I'm not sure that it wasn't like, in my opinion, he wasn't entirely just giving the finger to Geffen. They were good records.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I think there was an element of that. But anyway, and then that brings us back to how we started the set.
We started with
Loggins and Messina.
With Loggins and Messina. We're still beating that horse. But, you know, Vahivala, one of the other things about Loggins and Messina that I think make them hall worthy is the variety of sounds that they made. They had a, you know, their band included guys who played saxophone, clarinet, English horn, flute, recorder. You had the concertina, you had the clarinet, the alto flute, you know. And on that, on Vahivala, you heard the steel drum, you heard some of the woodwinds. So I think that the versatility is, you know, a factor that should be taken into account in a way that, you know, besides that, they could do country, they could do folk, they could do rock, you know, so a little bit of a utility infielder. And maybe that's why there aren't that many utility infielders in the Baseball Hall of Fame, coming back to the analogy, you know. They did a lot of things very well, but I don't know that they really, you know, are sticky on people's minds when they're going to vote. All of which is to say, you know, I think this is a band that has been kind of unfairly overlooked by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I myself don't even have them, you know, number one next in line. I think that's Warren Zevon. But I think this is a band that, you know, is deserving of more consideration than they seem to get. So I know this is a huge platform. I know this is a bully pulpit, if you will. So I thought I would take the opportunity to do it. Now, you know, you were talking about Neil Young doing a bit of an homage to rockabilly. That's where I think Your Mama Don't Dance is worth thinking about, because it is an homage to some of just the old playful rock and roll songs. I think of Charlie Brown. I think of Wake Up Little Susie. And I think that's what they were going for there. So I appreciate bands that are able to think about, you know, the history and, you know, and in this case, play some homage to it. So
I think, well,
maybe we should hear that.
I think we should hear that next. I think that's a really good perspective on that song. And I admit, I love this song.
Yeah.
I do. And it does have that humorous kind of, I mean, there's even like a talking voice part.
Right.
So
yeah, yeah.
So let's play that. Here we go. If you only know one Loggins and Messina song, it's probably this one.
Because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Your mama don't dance and It's all because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. When evening rolls around and it's time to go to town, where do you go? To rock and roll. Where do you go? To rock and roll. Where do you go? To rock and roll. You're beating it to us like a hammer, so don't you tell me it'll be alright.